always ushers check on visitors in case they would need one, and they won't have to feel out of place having to raise their hand. Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Is yours coming? Who's bringing it? Oh, is Josue bringing it? No? You don't know? Oh, okay. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 17 through 20, if you have that, if you'd stand, stretch in honor for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. The Bible says this, and starting in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. And let's go ahead. We're going to pray, and then we'll let you be seated. I'm going to talk about confusion today. Let's pray. You may be seated. Then the Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless this morning, Father. I pray that you strengthen my voice this morning, Lord. I've had a lot of voice trouble the last couple of days. And just pray, Lord, that you would just help me, strengthen me, give me a clear enough voice, Lord, to be understood. And pray for that now. Pray that you bless this time now. Fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I've gone from different places in our country and our world and so forth, and particularly our country, I guess, and gone to different cities and so forth, I've noticed churches. There's a lot of quote-unquote churches around. Probably, I'll just name some of the predominant ones. Of course, there's lots of others, but of course, you got Baptist, you got Methodist, you got Presbyterian, Lutheran, Church of Christ, Roman Catholic, Episcopalian, and we could go on with several others. But these are some of the more main ones that you have, like here in Lincoln. Now, they're a little different from each other. Some of them vastly, some of them are similar. They have different confessions of faith, different ideas about how to run things. And with some exceptions, they, for the most part, profess to believe that the Word of God is true. But I think there's some confusion today, some astounding confusion that goes on in today's churches. For example, there's confusion about salvation, I think. A lot of confusion there. The Bible teaches salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood alone to get you to heaven. The Bible is very clear about that, but for some reason there's confusion. Some believe in salvation by works. Some believe in salvation by baptism, which is just another form of works salvation. But some believe in salvation by church membership. Some just on and on. We could go. There's confusion there. Another place there's confusion is on the standard of living. How should we live our life? There's confusion everywhere about that. Seems like in every city. There's confusion about how Christians ought to live. How should they behave? What should they do? What shouldn't they do? So forth. Some are weak, and they turn away to the world and the sins of the world. Their members do. And their pastors too, in many cases too, because they're the ones that lead in it a lot of times. Others are strict. They believe the scriptures, and they try to live according to them by separating from some things that the Bible dictates to separate from. But there's confusion. Again, there's confusion also in the area of leadership. There's confusion in leadership. Some believe in a called out ministry. I do, that's for sure. But and I believe God calls men to preach and to be missionaries and so forth. But some don't believe that. They think it's a business. I think it's just about opportunity and a big salary. There's confusion about that. There's confusion also about purpose. Purpose. Why do we have a local church? But what is the purpose of a local church? That's what needs to be asked. There's confusion about that. Some believe the purpose of a local church is to change our society. They believe the purpose of a local church is to go around and fix people's houses and pick up trash and all that stuff, and that's all nice, but that's not the main purpose of a local church by any way, shape, or form. I'm not against picking up trash, bless God. I'm not for littering, but that's not the ministry. That's not the purpose of a local church, folks, at all, but there's confusion about that. The purpose of a local church is to win souls to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of a local church. To win people to a loving God and Savior. That's the purpose of the church. And that's our business, amen. And the Great Commission is to be done and performed through that. But all this is confusion. Christians are confused. Churches are confused. If they're confused, what do you think the lost sinners think? And in some cases, we're talking about the same thing there, but what do you think they think? They're confused. They're confused about Bibles and all say different things and all kinds of things. I'll not even get off into that today, but they're confused. There's so much confusion out there for the unsaved. They're confused about hearing a multitude of different ideas about how to do something or how something should be done. And I don't blame them, to be honest with you, in many ways. Except by the grace of God, for you and I who are saved this morning, we wouldn't be on our ways to heaven. So, fortunately, the gospel came to us and we chose to believe it and accept it. Or we might be confused as everybody else, too. So, the purpose of the local church, win people to a loving, summoning God. People are confused about the church, about salvation, about leadership, about standards of living, all of those things they're confused about. Now, and they'll say, what are we to believe? They're saying different things. What are we to believe? Folks, we must always do one thing this morning, that's this. Come back to the Word of God. The Word of God has all the answers. If this is God's Word to us, it's all found right here, amen, in God's Word. This book sets the standard, amen. This book is what we must have in our church, in every church, everywhere, amen. If we're to get things right, to have it, let's say, eternally right, we got to go by the book. Amen. What the book says. Amen. The Word of God. When we hold the book, we need to be sure where we stand. Amen. Because the book will point us in the right direction if we read it and follow it. Now, we can find everywhere in the Word of God instruction on how to live. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Don't look it up. You won't get there in time, and this sermon will go too long if we look them all up together. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, folks, that's God's Word. How to live is very important. The Apostle Paul said to abstain from all appearance of evil in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil. So the standard set in the Bible is there. But yet there's confusion about living. There's confusion about what we should do and shouldn't do. Yet the Word of God is very clear to abstain from all appearance of evil. And say, well, what do we do, preacher? Well, how about this? First of all, this is just a sub-point, but how about live for Christ? Amen. Live for Christ. That's for every one of us. Amen. No compromise at all. We are to live for Christ. Hey, live by the Word of God. Live by the book. Live by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, the Holy Spirit's in you if you're a child of God. Amen. Amen. He's in you. He's in you. And guess what? He's there to help cleanse your life. He's there to help direct your life. He's there to help empower your life. He's there to help guide your life. The Holy Spirit indwells in you, and we are to live by this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Live by His example. Amen. We're to follow Him and do what He would have us to do. That's what, for Christ, that is. Amen. That's the matter of our living day by day. Amen. Being in the right place at the right time, saying the right thing, doing what God wants us to do with our lives, not wasting our lives, but using them to glorify God for His purpose and His cause. Hey, how about this? Secondly, underneath this, this means living a separated life. So what are we to do? Live for Christ. What are we to do? Live a separated life. Live a separated life. If there's a doubt or a question about something, do you know what you should do? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And people get confused. They say, well, what about dancing? What about going to drinking establishments? What about going to something else? I don't know. But guess what you should do? If you got a question mark about it, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, to me, those things ain't that hard to answer. But for some people, they're always confused. Listen, don't do it. Amen. Don't do it. And you want to follow Him. You want to live in His light. Amen. We're to live for Him. Hey, how about this then? Live the life of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Live the life of Holy Spirit power. Let's say it like that. Live the life of Holy Spirit power. That's the third sub-point underneath that number one. Live the life of Holy Spirit power. Truth is, I couldn't say enough about that. Amen. So we're always talking about that sometimes. Well, listen, we're supposed to be a child of God, amen, if we're saved. Why not live in Holy Spirit fullness and power, amen? Why not do that? He wants to empower you and I, amen. He wants to fill us and use us to make us into what He wants for us to be in our lives. That's what He wants, amen. We should want the same thing. Amen, as a Christian, and so we should want to have Holy Spirit fullness and power in our lives to direct us and use us, amen. He wants to fill us and control our lives completely. And then fourthly, we're to bring others to Christ. What are we to do? To bring others to Christ, amen, to bring others to Christ. That's our business. Let your light so shine, amen. That's what God wants, amen. How about the power of a dedicated life that will affect somebody else's life, amen? How about the power of a life that's so close to the Lord that people can sense and feel it, amen? Don't forget what our purpose is. It's to win others to Jesus. That's why you're here, Christian. To win others to Jesus. Let's not ignore our responsibilities. Amen. Let's not be confused by the voice of the world. Amen. The way of the light is simple. Amen. It's given to us in the Word of God. It's to be hidden in our hearts. Amen. And it's to be given out to others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be telling others about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what God would have for us to do. But what's the matter with this present day and age? Confusion. 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 Confusion all the time. Folks, the way of salvation is clear. It's clear. Men are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. No other way to heaven. The matter of the way of salvation in this present life, what we are to do is clear. It's clear. So the Bible tells us what to do. Amen. How we're to act. Where we're to go. How we behave ourselves, the type of things that He would have for us to do and not do. The Bible tells us that we're to follow the Holy Word of God and to follow, hey, live for others. Amen. Let me give you a third thought then this morning. That's this. Number three, there's confusion about the work of life. There is confusion on the work of life. the work of life. There's confusion on that. Confusion on that. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now folks, that's clear. We're to be a witness for Him. Amen. A witness for Him. A witness by what? By your life. By your what? By your words. By your what? By your actions. By your what? By your decisions. You should be making all your decisions based on the leadership of God in your life. Amen. Now here's the work of life. To point people to Jesus. To point people to the Lamb of God. Amen. To the one that John the Baptist talked about. Amen. To point them. To point them to Jesus. Amen. Hey, that's the work of life. That's the work of life. That's what God wants. Amen. We're to get involved in that. We're to be witnessing. We're to be witness for Him day by day, night by night. Amen. That's the work of life. Don't be confused. It's as simple as ABCs, folks. Don't get confused. You're to keep it with you day and night, professing upon people their need for Jesus Christ. Always pointing them to the Lamb of God. Always pointing them to the Savior. Amen. I give invitations here at our church. Of course, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, every week. Ever been doing that for a long time. Amen. Every service, I press upon the people of their need for Christ right at that invitation time. Especially if there's visitors here. Folks, it's important that you know Christ. But wait a minute. It's not just to be done here. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it here. But that's why we have church-wide soul winning every Thursday night. Because there's only so many lost people going to come inside here. We got to go out there and we got to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Because that's what God wants for us to do. Amen. He wants us to go out there and tell them about Jesus. Amen. And we have Thursday night, so we have visitation and follow-up visits on Saturday of people that we've met and so forth. And we witness as we go there. Amen. And we've seen 1,000 saved over these years. Amen. And baptized hundreds here since I've been here in these 11 years almost. God wants for us to do that and continue to do more. Amen. We must emphasize this matter of the work of life. Amen. We've got to grasp a hold of this, that this is what every Christian is to be doing with their life. We've got this idea or concept that it's just about going to church once a week on Sunday morning, and then I got the rest of my life that I live. Wait a minute. God never intended you give Him just a little corner of your life. God intended that you give Him your whole life. And therefore, the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes, guess what? Your work of life. And then everything else in your life should just become secondary to that work of life that God has intended for you to do. Amen? Boy, the amen sure went down, didn't he? That's true, though. We're to be witnesses through our daily lives every day, taking advantage and opportunity to tell folks about Christ and point them to the Lamb of God. Amen? Now, if you're doubtful in your living and your action and so forth, let me give you some things about this. Number one, witness by your daily life. Witness by your daily life. Not a doubtful life, not a questionable life, but one that'll let them know that you're a born-again Christian, that you're saved. Let them know. Let them know by how you live your life daily, amen. Also, to witness by our church attendance habits, amen. And by our church attendance habits, amen. And Dr. Lee Robertson used to make this statement all the time. Three to thrive. Three to thrive. You know what that means? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you want to thrive as a Christian, it's three to thrive, amen. Three to thrive. And the truth of the matter is, folks, when people are faithful to that, you don't see near as much of them backsliding as you do those who don't come that often. Those who stick by the stuff are coming to all those things. Those who backslide are usually those who quit attending those times or never attended those times, and they begin to slide away. Why? Because every day, folks, the world is pressing on you. The world is pressing on you with worldliness and sinfulness. And the problem is you need to come in here to get charged up to be able to make it through the world each week. Amen. That's what you need. But the world presses you. It presses you in the places you go. It presses you in your day-to-day work where you work your job. And it presses you everywhere you go. So you need this time of church. You need these habits. It's going to be important for you, and it'd be a good way for you to witness by your church attendance habits. Amen. People notice. Say, boy, they're always going to church over there. Bless God. All we do is go on Easter Sunday. They're always going every week, and they go every Sunday night, and they go every Wednesday night to the Bible study. Hey, how about this? Witness by inviting people to the house of God. Witness by inviting people to the house of God. Amen. There's something beautiful about going to church, and there's something beautiful about bringing others to church with you. Amen. And there's something beautiful about seeing families come to church, and there's something beautiful about parents coming in and bringing their kids. Amen. There's something beautiful about that. There's even something beautiful about just anybody themselves coming in, even a single person. Whatever. But there's something beautiful about them going to church. Amen. Then guess what? You witness by your spoken testimony. You witness by your spoken testimony. Amen. That's what you do. You witness by your spoken testimony. And that's what God would have for you to do. Amen. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Be witnessing for him daily. Thursday night soul winning is great. You ought to be coming. You ought to be witnessing for him. But guess what? What about Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? We're to be a witness for him all the time. Spoken testimony, amen. You witness by your daily life, by your church attendance, and by your testimony of your giving of Christ, amen. Folks, I'm here this morning because somebody cared about my soul. You're here this morning because somebody cared about your soul. They were concerned for you. God wants to use all of us. Folks, we're living in confusing days, confusing times. There's confusion all over the city, all over the nation, all over the world for that matter. People are confused. They don't know which way to go. They're up, they're down, they're in, they're out. They don't know. But God has a way of letting them know, and it's amazing, this unusual, this confusing day. God can still bring people to himself, but he intended that we take the word of God to him to help point them the right direction to Christ. Amen. And he will save any of those who come to him and ask for salvation. In this astounding, astonishing, confusion day, we should know Christ, because he'll help take care of the confusion that's out there. Know Christ, live for Christ. Say, I want to witness for him every day in this astonishing, confusing day that we live in, this confusing world that we're in. Guess what? Give out the gospel message. Christ died for our sins. Amen. Keep pressing upon people with your witness. Everywhere, there's going to be people that will get saved if you keep giving it out. One thing I know for sure, if you don't give it out, they won't get saved. Give us unity in the way of salvation. Give us unity in the way of life. Give us unity in the work of life, which is witnessing for Christ. The way of salvation, the way of life, the work of life, the victory is ours to be won if we stick by the stuff and do what we're supposed to do. Amen. I mean, let God use you in this confusing day to help others. There's people out there that are hungry, folks. They're hungry. Let's stand to our feet.